The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
Back from a splendid time in Chicago, Illinois. Oh, wonderful times, personally and professionally, because rocking around the draft is always exciting, and got to catch up with some old chums and my sister and all that sort of stuff. You don't care about what's going on with me. Don't jive me. You want to know what I think. More importantly, you want to know what the man seated to my immediate left. He's been with us all through the spring, leading us up and telling us what we need to know in front of the draft. It is now completed. Let's kibitz with them now about the winners, the losers, what this is going to mean for the 2015 NFL season. It's Bucky Brooks. What's the poop, fella?
What's going on, Sheck?
I don't know why you can't match my energy, Bucky. Didn't you hear like I was enthusiastic? You go, what's up? I give you a big lead up like that and you just...
Trying to save it.
Okay, all right, all right.
Shoot my watch. Trying to save it.
Fair enough. You're a pro. You know what to do. You don't need a pep talk from me. Also, we have to dig in on a little NBA action. I know producer Black Tie behind the glass is chomping at the bit to weigh in on that. Black Tie, though, did you have a good time in Chicago, Illinois?
Fun times in Chicago. Kind of cold, but the draft was fun.
It was cold that Thursday night when we were running around. There was nowhere to hide from me in Black Tie. Boy, it was really, it was nasty right by the lake.
You found a good spot in the midst of like eight Colts cheerleaders, though.
Yes, I did, Bucky. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I was there. But you know what? They stopped by and got yours truly first. I just want you to know.
I don't know what you're implying there. It sounds
just
a little
saying,
creepy.
I'm just saying.
I did see one of the cheerleaders tweeted at Damn Show.
Yeah, that's right. Did any of the Colts cheerleaders tweet to you, Buck?
No.
Oh, they tweeted out. No, they all the entire gang tweeted back at me. Several of them followed me. Oh, we had such fun with Dave. And
I got a photo.
Oh, good for you.
I got a photo.
They do that for any show.
Oh, anybody.
Yeah, they'll do that. Yeah. They don't tweet it like, what a good time we had. Hey, see you at the Super Bowl, we hope, Dave. You know?
Yeah.
Met up with the Cowboy girls, too.
Oh, I didn't see that show.
They also like me. Yeah, they like me quite a bit, too.
Cowboy.
All right, so let's get into it here, Buck. What do you think about, by the way, did you enjoy Chicago?
I love Chicago.
Did you have deep dish pizza?
I did not get around to it. I tried to. The line was too long. Was it Giordano's?
Well, there are many of them.
I think that's where I saw by Giordano's. It was too long.
It's something. Is this a thing that a lot of people, you know, here in Los Angeles, here at NFL Media, who hadn't been to Chicago, were debating? Well, do you know which is the best? They asked me, knowing that I had lived there for during my 20s, so they solicited my opinion on that. And, it's something I guess you have to try. It's one of those things. But it is not something that people who live in Chicago year-round are eating once a week or anything like that. It's more a tourist thing. So it's not essential that you have that.
It's not – you don't have pizza like every
– No, because pizza is – correct me if I'm wrong. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, you could only eat one kind of food for the rest of your life, what would it be, Bucky? Gee. There really is only one answer to it. It's pizza.
Why is it the only
one? Well, give me an alternative.
I don't know if I necessarily have one.
Black Tie behind the glass, can you volunteer anything? There's nothing you're going to be satisfied by forever.
I don't know if I want pizza every day of my life.
I guess if you said sandwiches.
No.
But wouldn't you get tired of sandwiches? Even if I allow you to have pita
chicken.
Bread. Even if I say you can.
I thought chicken, but that is.
Chicken?
I didn't want to play into the stereotype. Like, I was trying to.
I'm not talking about. No. You're getting. What did you
good
just
old
say?
Fried chicken. Drumsticks.
Drumsticks.
Now you're just breaking down pieces of a chicken.
What piece of chicken are you?
I like the dark meat. That's my way. Yeah.
As
a child, I only knew the way of the white meat. Now, given a choice, I always go dark. How about
that's
you,
Black? That's the way to go. I'm a drumstick guy, always been. It's a privileged life. Like, you don't have to struggle with the bones and stuff. You just rip it right off.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, I mean, but I'll take
over,
a thigh.
I moved over more towards chicken wings.
Yeah, I like a good spicy wing. I haven't eaten
those. Do you know how to eat a flat properly?
What do you mean?
A flat.
Yeah.
Like yeah, the two boner?
Yeah. There's a way to do it.
Instead of the one boner. The one boner is self-evident. It's a mini drumstick. But the two boner, yeah, I know how to do that. Yeah,
you split it. Split it. Yeah, you take that off. Take a little.
No, you hold it by one end, and you pull the whole thing off with your teeth.
No, that's not the way to do it.
Let me tell you something. Okay, go. Please tell me what I need to know.
Well, you have to bite off the little like wrap tendon and hold the two bones together at the very top. Just quickly split it up with your two hands. Eat one side just like completely easily, and then use the other one. Just swallow it, and you're done.
Swallow.
Your explanation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to do without, you know.
Taught
visuals.
Me nothing. All I can tell you is grab it by one end, put your teeth around it.
You don't get all of it.
Well, yeah. I do, and let me tell you as proof how I know that it works. Because when I was matriculating in Bloomington, Indiana, there was a place, I think it is, you know that, you see all the commercials now, Buffalo Wild Wings, where they, you know, they turn on the sprinklers in the game to make overtime.
Buffalo Wild Wings overrated, by the way.
Well, it used to be. Thank you. Now they'll never be a sponsor of this show. Terrific. Now, I think it is the same place that used to be named BW3.
It is BW3, yeah.
It is.
Yes.
BW3 was in Bloomington and Cincinnati and Columbus, I think, and a couple of places just in Ohio and Indiana. And so I think there were 8 locations nationally, and they were all, like I say, in a couple of states. And there was every Monday night during Monday Night Football, they would have a wing-eating contest, and you would have to sign up, and they would have to draw your name. And as luck worked out, my name was drawn in the first round once, and you had to eat 50 wings, 5-0, in 15 minutes or less. Ooh. Daunting, it seemed. And so it was. Because I barely finished 14 minutes and 45 seconds to eat the 50 wings required. I did it, though, and that was just good enough for me to advance to the second round. Now, in the second round, it was 70 wings in 20 minutes. Here's the thing. Here's what a champion does, Bucky. This is the thing that you go to your combine, you assess players, what they can do. But that's just in a vacuum. What matters is who rises when something's on the line. In the second round, now you understand, I said 14 minutes and 45 seconds to eat the 50. I ate the 70 in 14 minutes, 35 seconds. I ate 20 wings 10 seconds more quickly than I ate the 50. Why? Because it was the playoffs, Bucky.
That's unbelievable.
Now in the regional finals, whoever won that got to go to, like, I think one, like, you competed amongst whoever each locale presented, and I think the prize was like a Super Bowl trip or something like that. It was as many wings as you could eat in 30 minutes, and they don't let you jive with the eating it, because it's they weigh the wings, so they make sure that you're not like taking a bite and like making it look more eaten than it is. That was too much for me. When I walked in, it was a bunch of middle-aged, slovenly fellas, and I realized, all right, I think you've made your point, Dave. You know, you've shown everybody that you are a champion.
So you tapped out.
Well, what I did was I ate 25 just to, you know, satiate my belly. They were free after all. And then I parted ways.
If you guys want to talk wings, we can talk wings.
I don't want to talk wings. I want to talk about the draft.
Quick question about BW3. You know why it was called BW3?
Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck.
Wedges.
No, it was Weck. It's not. It was Weck.
It wasn't. What? Apparently, it was.
I like black ties. Black ties. The best.
I thought it was wedges.
Bucky, I like that black tie breaks in with a piece of trivia that is inaccurate.
That he doesn't
nope,
know.
Nope. It was. I tell him the correct answer. Nope. Wedges. Nope.
That was.
Where would I come up with the word Weck? I don't even remember what. I think it's a kind of bread.
Someone lied to me. I thought it was wedges. I just call it BW3.
Good piece of trivia, though, the same. All right, now can we please talk about the draft? Yeah, Chicago. So anyway, yeah, pizza is the correct answer there. And chicken is a beast that you would want to eat, black tie. That's it. Of course, that's a different question. I'm talking about a style of food. Pizza is a creation of a number of ingredients that produce the final product. A sandwich, there's a lot of latitude there. You could have turkey one day, you could have roast beef the next. But I still say, Bucky, that you would get tired of that. Cold cuts, or even if you could heat them up.
Yeah, I wouldn't want cold cuts. So, I mean, maybe pizza's
pizza. Pizza, but you maybe. Wouldn't be able to eat. My ultimate point is, and then we'll move on, is you couldn't eat Chicago-style deep-dish pizza every day of your life. No, you could eat flat pizza forever, from here to eternity. That's my bottom line point to you. All right, now let's talk about it, Bucky. Let's jump right to the end of it here. Everybody's doing their grades. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. When you grade a draft, what you're really doing is either validating your opinion that you had before the draft, like, well, those teams didn't follow what I told them, so they get a bad grade. I told them they needed to take this wide receiver in that spot. They didn't, so I'm D+. Now that team made a savvy. In fact, that guy fell to them, and I was high on that guy, so they get an A for making that savvy.
There is something to that, because really, what are we grading them on? Are we grading them on the execution of their draft process when we don't know what was on the board? Mm-hmm. Are we grading them on picking up value picks that happen to fall to them? It's really a hard thing. I really struggle when I have to put grades on people, because I do try and look at the process and look at what the needs were and what the composition of the roster mm-hmm. is. But in reality, executives will tell you the draft is just a small piece of the off-season puzzle. You use free agency, you use the draft, and then you use street free agency to really figure out if you can fix all the holes on your roster. And so you try and – when you're looking at free agency and the draft, you're trying to see where are the holes on my team, which pool is deeper, where should we go? And so that's how you make that determination.
Well, you know, everybody – obviously, I love reckless speculation as much as anybody, perhaps more than anyone. But, you know, when you talk about – we all sit around here once the season starts and make our picks on Friday or Saturday. I think this team is going to win. But then you revisit it on Monday, and you have the results, so you know if you were right or wrong about that. The draft is different than that. You – in front, predict who they're going to take, and then we don't have any results now. We just know who they picked. We don't know if it's right or wrong until they start playing, and we see how good these guys are. But people, oh, I love this draft. How do you know if you love it, except that you had your preconceived notions of who these players were?
Absolutely.
Like I said, speaking of food, I think I said this on Twitter, that it's sort of like draft grading is sort of like sitting in a restaurant and looking at the table next to us, and you hear that the person next at the other table ordered something, and you say, "Oh, I love what that guy ordered," and you've never tasted it. How do you know if it just sounds good to you? That's all. You decided they ordered what you ordered, therefore that guy ordered well, but neither one of you has tasted it yet.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
The metaphor is getting lost, and now I want to talk about cut and dried, as close to fact as we can get. Who wins, Bucky? What is winning in the NFL? Making the playoffs. Only one team gets the Lombardi, but if you get to the postseason, most every NFL team feels it was a successful season. What team do you feel, or teams, it could be several. In fact, I think there's several teams out there. Let's start right here. What teams that were not in the playoffs last year will now make a legitimate run as a result of their draft picks?
Just a result of the draft.
Well, no. Let's do the whole offseason.
I think the Buffalo Bills are going to make the playoffs.
Ooh.
I think the Buffalo Bills have all the pieces in place to make the playoffs. I know there are questions about the quarterback, whether it's Matt Castle or E.J. Manuel, even Tyrod Taylor. I just think they're constructed in a way that the quarterback takes a backseat. It won't really matter what he does as long as he doesn't turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
That defense is lights out. I love what they're doing offensively. I think Greg Roman would get back to being the run game guru that he was his first 3 years in San Francisco. I look for the Buffalo Bills to be a major, major factor in AFC this year.
Well, I mean, we talked about it last week. And by the way, Handsome Hank isn't here. He's on vacation this week. But Handsome and I talked about it last week in front of the draft. As we assess, you know, people, winners, losers, and all that, one of the biggest losers in this draft to me is Tom Brady. I mean, that old man is going to be playing in a division that he does not recognize when he gets back out on the field. Six games against that Bills defense with Rex Ryan, who has always known how to terrorize him, and as good as the Jets pieces were 4 years ago, I would say that this Bills defense is going to be superior, given the quality of the individuals, right?
Yeah, this Bills defense is outstanding. And you talk about Tom Brady really losing. Yes, you've given Rex Ryan the full complement and arsenal of people to throw at him. So he finally should be able to knock him around and get home. And remember, a bunch of their games have been within 3 points. So a lot of the games have been going down to the wire. Now you give them an offensive advantage. Yeah, they should. I mean, they certainly should have an opportunity.
So you like the Bills, what they did, a little bit better than what the Jets did.
I like the Jets.
I think the Jets also had a dynamite.
I think the Jets are outstanding. I think they did a great job of, you know, really sticking to the premise of what so many executives talk about. Take the best available player, regardless of position. They didn't need Leonard Williams when they took him at six. Like, he's a guy that plays anywhere inside.
Well, how
outside.
Do you use him? Because I've had this conversation with a few guys like you, and there's a difference of opinion, not in that Leonard Williams is going to be great, but people say, well, he's really best if you use him in the three technique, or, you know, but guys like you say, oh, you can move him all over the place. That's why he's going to be so diabolical to contend with.
Yeah, I think you can use him in a variety of areas, positions. I would say he probably can play from the one all the way out to the seven, the one technique being a shaded nose, playing on one side of the center's shoulder, depending on how you see him. I think he really is ideally suited to play either a three or five technique. The three technique sets on the outside shoulder of the guard. The five technique sets on the tackle. And I think with Leonard Williams, he brings so much versatility to the table. He can play on rundowns on the inside. He can go outside. He can come on sub package and be your interior pass rusher to surround him with Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson. I mean, they can have scary combinations on the field. And one thing we know about Ty Bowles, he's unafraid of dialing up big pressure. He's not afraid to put his guys in one-on-one. And why wouldn't you with Antonio Cromartie and Darrelle Revis? Now you're talking about having to deal with a defense that really attacks you from the moment the game starts to the moment it ends. I love what they're doing defensively.
You know what's funny about that? I don't want to jump in on this the way I did. There was a friend of mine in college who we used to call Pool Boy. Because he would, with girls, he would meet a girl that he liked, and if she said, oh, yeah, I'll go out with you or whatever, that he would just dive in. He wouldn't even see if there was water in the pool. He was all in on whatever. Oh, she's the greatest woman. All right, settle down, man. You just met this person. Relax a little bit. I think I was a little bit of a pool boy last August because I looked at the Niners offense specifically and the Bears offense specifically and said, well, how can they not be dynamite? How can they not be top five offenses given what they're going to have out there? Now on the defensive side, it seems to me, well, the Jets are going to be disastrous to play. I mean, how are you going to score points against them or the Bills? And give me a reason to not be just over the moon positive that both of those teams are going to be. The only reason that those two teams can't win double-digit games both is because the Dolphins should be good, and the Patriots are obviously going to be good. And yet, collectively, divisions have a habit of rising and falling together. You know, as we talk about a lot, people scoff when I say in August, usually, I think there are going to be three teams making the playoffs from this division. Well, what's the likelihood of that? It just works out that way all the time because of schedule strength and otherwise.
Right.
But anyway, what the Bills and the Jets just seem, you know, especially you throw Revis and Cromartie back there, the holdovers are, you know, the returnees from that great Ryan defense, and now all these other pieces up front, they just are going to be a disaster to deal with.
Well, I think what we're seeing in the league is shifting back to a more defensive minded focus. For years, we've talked about the quarterback and everything is about the quarterback as a quote-unquote quarterback-driven league. I think what we're seeing, decision-makers and coaches are hitting the reset button on how they're building their teams. What we know to be true, the teams with the best defense typically are playing late in the regular season and also in the postseason. Seattle has been a team that's been a prominent contender in the league because their defense carries the water. Marshawn Lynch runs the ball effectively, and then you have the X factor of Russell Wilson making plays. When I look at San Francisco, they were built around their defense and the running game. That is the long-term sustainable model for being able to be a perennial team year after year after year. If you're not one of the four or five quarterbacks in this league,
you know,
you have to build it around your defense, your running game, and play complementary football.
You know, it's an interesting thought, Buck, that, you know, and we've batted it around a ton here over the years, the idea of
just
elititudinous QB, but this idea of like that's the key. it is great, but there aren't very many of them. So this thing of coveting one every year, it's nearly impossible to come by one of these 4 to 6 guys in the league that satisfy that. And but by the way, even if you have one of those guys, Tom Brady hurts his knee what was that, '09, '08? He hurts his knee. That's the end of their season for them, essentially. Peyton Manning stinks down the stretch because of whatever is going on with him. That's the end of that Broncos team. You're better served, really, to have that dominant defense in a way.
Absolutely. Like, that. Here's the thing. Here's
Buck, before you get on that.
Black.
To your point, though, isn't the last part of that equation having a quarterback with big play ability? Because, I mean, I guess the Ravens are a team that fit that mold a few years ago, but they had Flacco who can just go off during the playoffs.
Well, he would get hot during the playoffs, but even when you talk about Joe Flacco, when Ike Taylor was here, we both kind of said, like, he's good, but he's not great. A lot of the stuff with the quarterback is making sure you're setting your quarterback up for success. When you have a strong and dominant running game, he gets more opportunities to throw the ball outside versus one-on-one because people drop an extra defender in the box to stop the run. Russell Wilson's success stems largely in part because of Marshawn Lynch present in the backfield. When Marshawn Lynch is in the backfield, he creates chaos. He attracts a lot of attention. That allows Russell Wilson to face one-on-one on the outside, easier to complete those passes. When you're Aaron Rodgers before they got Eddie Lacy's, now you're dealing with two deep coverage, jamming the receivers on the outside. You can't push the ball down the field. You have a tough time fitting the ball consistently in the windows. That is why the running back, the running game is so important. And then when you have the defense, you now can tell the quarterback, put the ball in the freezer, meaning don't make any risky throws. Our defense is good enough to give you extra opportunities. Willie McGinnis and some of us around the building, we call it, it's complementary football. You build your game plan, both sides of the ball, based upon the strengths of your team. So if we don't have a quarterback, we need to run the ball, and then on defense, we need to build up that defense to keep it low scoring so I don't have to put it in my quarterback's hand to consistently have to make big plays. That's
but
when we don't if have
that, but that makes you competitive, though. Does that make you a title-contending team? Like, again, I think the Ravens.
Yes! The answer to that is black ties, I told you.
What he's describing. Well, the team is describing to me sounds a lot like the Chiefs, not this season, the season before.
Oh, I got news for you. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the AFC West this year.
You won double
by the way,
digits,
bro.
Do you feel like that's a legitimate contender, though? Do you feel like that's a legitimate team?
Oh, I think you can win that way. I think more times than not, you win the way. I don't think the
black tie. The Ravens, what?
Yeah, I'm saying because the Ravens had Flacco who had big playability.
Whoa.
Like, I don't.
Be careful. He made some plays, but I'm going to be honest with you about Joe Flacco and doing his time
big arm
with Baltimore. Yeah, big arm. But understand this. Let's look at the numbers and let's look at his passing yards and those things. Whenever they try to make Joe Flacco the driving force of the offense, it struggled. Then at the end of the year, they readjust. Ray Rice would become the driving force, and then they would play better.
I totally agree with you. All I'm saying is that that last part of that equation is that you also have to have a quarterback.
Oh, you can't have a bum.
That's
I mean, you can't have a bum. The quarterback has to be able to make plays, but it doesn't have to
be. You have to be at least Joe Flacco.
There is a cliff. Yes, as I have described for 5 years now, the Sanchez cliff. You're in bad trouble if you are – Sanchez is the cut mark. You cannot go – you can only go so far if your quarterback doesn't rise to at least a minimum standard, which is why I want to talk about another guy in the AFC South in just a second here. But to answer your question, Black Tie, if you weren't busy with your English Premier League nonsense on your computer when I'm telling you stuff Champions on the show, I would tell – you would know this already. Out of the 15 Super Bowl champions in the 21st century, 11 of them, if my count off the top of my head is correct, they have been won by the so-called elite QBs. Brady with 3, with 4, Roethlisberger with 2, Rodgers, Peyton, and Breeze with 1 apiece. Now, the other teams that have gotten it done, the Giants twice, the Ravens twice, and the Seahawks, were defense dominant. Now, there's some wiggle room. There's some gray area in that. But it also ultimately proves my point that the Steelers in '05 in winning that Super Bowl, it wasn't because Ben Roethlisberger was one of the so-called elite-attitudinous QBs, but they were defensively dominant and could run the ball. Same goes for the Seattle Seahawks of 2 years ago. They were defensively dominant. Russell Wilson may or may not fit into that category for you. But even in the year, and Tom Brady in his first Super Bowl championship, the year they got it done, that was all defense, and maybe even the first three.
Three out of four. Like, it was all.
That was about McGinnis and Brewski and Seymour and so
different
on.
Different NFL, guys. It's a different NFL.
No, it's not.
You don't think you
No, it's not.
Absolutely not, because if it wasn't
in today's game,
NFL,
all these passing numbers, I think that's a different NFL.
What passing teams are winning Super Bowl titles?
Packers.
Pats. No, Pats won this year because they had a championship caliber defense.
That's
the same offense they had. They won because they had Revis, they had Brown, and they could play defense now. Before, they had the same team, the same nucleus. They couldn't win it. You have to have all of the pieces in place. Running game, defense, quarterback has to make plays. Even though you have an elite quarterback, he has to be supported. Like the problem in Denver with Peyton Manning. They still want to make it about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning wants to make it about Peyton Manning, but they won't win unless their team is balanced and it leans on the running game and the defense to make those plays.
That's a great. I want to kind of bounce around. I guess we don't have to stay married to an individual division, but that's one of the questions I really have been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks now, Buck. I don't know how well you can get in Drew Brees' head or Peyton Manning's head, but that's a major part of the equation if you're the Broncos or the Saints going into this season, which is, all right, well, we're transitioning. You know, your best days are behind you, elititudinous QB. But how much is Drew Brees going to be willing to just turn around and hand it off? And how much is Peyton Manning – that was John Elway wins those Super Bowls at the end of his career because he's willing to cede dominance to Terrell Davis. Are those guys, do you imagine hard. Both those guys are willing to be like, I'll sling it 20 times a game?
It's hard. Let's go back and think about the great Dan Marino. At the end of his time, when Jimmy Johnson was there and they were trying to win, Jimmy Johnson was trying to do it in a more traditional, conventional fashion where they ran the ball. He had a tough time not slinging the ball like he's used to. In this game, we all have egos. Like, we talked about it with the Austin Rivers thing or whatever in basketball. Like, we all feel like we're the man, and quarterbacks in particular, because we've celebrated them so much that we make them above everybody else on the team, on the outside.
And pay them that way as well.
And we pay them that way. So we make it like, oh, it's all about the quarterback. And so they have a tough time reining that back in when it's time to say the best way for our team to win is to be a little more efficient. Let's be a little more balanced. Let's kind of spread the wealth and make sure our running game and some of these other parts are carrying the team as opposed to you dropping back and throwing 35, 40 times a game. It is hard for an older quarterback to continue to play at that level. Even Tom Brady, as great as he was at parts during the Super Bowl, he can't put it on his arm game after game, week after week in the regular season and in the postseason to win it.
So Bryce Petty now is considered a project, but, using the eyeball test, couple things with the Jets, too, by the way. I told everybody Todd Gurley was the right pick for the Jets. If Leonard Williams hadn't fallen to them, that is apparently who they were going to take. So, in a way, I consider that myself half right on that one. Bryce Petty, too. I consider myself, Bucky, I don't know if it's quarterback whisperer because I don't talk to them. I don't counsel them. But I can tell you from a mile away who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. I've had my misses. All right. I said Jay Cutler was going to have a great year last year.
He was going to be MVP. Get it right.
That doesn't matter. But I told you 5 years ago that Aaron Rodgers would be the best in the game. And nobody argues that.
Huh? Really obvious, though.
Oh, was it obvious five years ago? It wasn't obvious 2 years ago to most people.
It wasn't that obvious. You know, there were questions.
I told everybody the answer.
It was more like 2-3 years ago you started saying that.
No.
At that point,
No. I've been at the NFL doing stuff for 5 years. I started saying that in December of my first year, 5 years ago. So, I was ahead of the curve on that one. I told you everybody now loves Roethlisberger's way for all of his deficiencies. But, oh, Dave, you put him in the top five quarterbacks? That's laughable. Now there's nobody who doesn't put him in the top five. And now hear what I have to tell you about Bryce Petty.
Is he still in the top five?
I love how he slings it. Who, Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
There's no question.
Buck,
at this point,
five?
Is Peyton Manning and Drew Brees regress?
Buck, who's your top
if
five?
You don't think Drew
well, – let's have Buck answer the question.
That's fine, but if you don't think Ben Roethlisberger – all right, go ahead. Let you take it, Buck. I know what Bucky's going to say. I know he has him in the top five.
Top five quarterbacks in the league. Ben Roethlisberger's in there.
There's no doubt.
Phillip Rivers is in there. Andrew Luck is in the building.
Now we'll see with Russell Wilson. You've kissed him in there, what? Black tie, but let's wait and see what he does.
I mean, let him finish.
I think Russell has to be in the conversation. Well,
I agree.
Sure.
So you're kicking out a few. Like, there's three right now. So is Brady in there?
Yes, of course.
No, he's not.
Brady's not one of the top five QBs.
I don't think he's one of the top five.
So who's your top five?
I just gave you five names.
Well, let's do it
That's
in order.
That's not listing them, though, Bucky. If you're going to truly recklessly speculate, you have to really go all
in. Put your name on it,
Buck.
I like doing it.
Who's your one?
It's Aaron Rodgers. There's nobody who doesn't have Aaron Rodgers
A-Rod
as number one.
A-Rod has to be number one.
By the way, as a fantasy tip, you know, here
and
in
then, like,
a,
so if we can go,
Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck are going to be so much better than every other quarterback in fantasy.
So we go take one of those two. We go A-Rod at one. We would go with
Bucky is literally writing on the table right now.
Buck, I love you.
In pen. Do it. I don't care.
A-Rod at one. I'm going to say
please don't man,
Big Ben.
Yeah. Big Ben number two in all
Andrew
the NFL.
Buck,
you don't have to kiss up to this guy.
Oh.
No. Big Ben at two.
Because here's what we're talking about. We're talking about quarterbacks. If we're going to list them in order. Quarterbacks who still
get out of here with that paper in here. Our words aren't put down on a piece of paper to be tossed out as soon as we leave. These things are etched into stone. I want Bucky's
podcast
top. I'm going to etch in with my keys. I'm going to etch in my top five
A-Rod,
quarterbacks.
Big Ben, Rivers.
All right. Rivers is three.
Luck
at four.
And then Wilson.
I like that Bucky's absolutely not. He's not going chalky. He's not.
If I did that though, you'd be outraged at how ridiculous that
is. I know Bucky knows what
he's
talking about.
Well, no. Like here's
apparently I do too. Since I tell you in advance what's going to be, and then it happens. What more do you need?
Buck's essentially saying Big Ben's second best quarterback in the league today, and that's. I mean.
And what?
Well, on the strength of his ability to single handedly carry his offensive squad, I'm absolutely. Cool with this.
You know what?
We could consider flipping Luck and Rivers. I think that's close. Like, I mean, I could put Luck over Rivers, Rivers over however you do it. Like, Luck is.
I'd probably do that.
But Phillip Rivers was really, really good last year.
I know. Like, I saw.
Really, he was really, really good.
I know the last couple of years, in fact.
So, I mean, I'm okay with this list as that. But these guys right now are in their prime. Playing at the top of their game, and they still have the ability to get it done.
I feel bad for the longtime listener that I'm going to say this for the million and first time, but I'm going to say it. Only Roethlisberger and Rodgers, and now maybe – you know what? Now so there's some young guys that maybe now you include in that conversation, specifically Luck and Russell Wilson, who – although Russell Wilson hasn't had to do it, so I can't put him in there. Maybe Luck is now number three in this group. Of the guys who, if they don't have a good offensive line, the season isn't over. If the Patriots had a crummy offensive line, they would have no chance going into the season. You know the Steelers and Packers will still win games with a subpar offensive line because of their
And before all the Patriots fans blow me up, they have to go like because on our thing, if you look at the stats on Tom Brady, because I know it, and I'm a Tom Brady fan. I think Tom Brady's one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest, based on what he's accomplished.
After I text him what you said today, I mean, he's really
good. If you look at the numbers, the crunch time numbers, two-minute drills, third down, all that other stuff, his numbers weren't great. They weren't up to the normal Tom Brady standard last year. And so because of that, he is coming down. Breeze, Manning, all those guys.
I do agree with you what you're saying there. You're not giving him a lifetime achievement award, but isn't Big Ben too high? I would say honestly, Andrew Luck is probably.
Did you watch him play last year?
He's a better quarterback than Big Ben, like right now.
See, I think everybody right now. Here's what I would say. Everyone treats Andrew Luck with kid gloves. Andrew Luck is a really good player. Andrew Luck makes a lot of plays, but Andrew Luck also turns the ball over a lot. He forces things. He makes turnovers or whatever. And I feel like we give him a pass because we've anointed him as the next great quarterback. And he is an outstanding quarterback, one of the best that I've ever scouted when he was coming out of Stanford. He's everything that he was supposed to be based on that evaluation. However, we just need to temper those expectations and not necessarily rush him to the front of the class right away.
And now let me say this to you also. Ben Roethlisberger's two best seasons are arguably his last two. He is playing at his peak. It's a lifetime achievement award. Yeah, he won Super Bowls previously, but I mean,
I mean
the way he as an individual has played the last 2 years, has been absolutely gangbusters.
This is so twisted, though, because what is his playoff record in his last year?
No. See, now here's –
No, the reason I'm asking that is because Shaq gets on Peyton Manning for having, oh, you have great regular seasons, and then come playoff time, you're not doing anything. It's like you can't do that.
Peyton Manning, almost every single one of his seasons in the NFL, he has been surrounded by a gaggle of firepower and has almost always been behind a good, if not great, offensive line. That's the difference. What are you talking about? Peyton Manning, the premise with Peyton Manning's teams is always it all goes through Peyton Manning. The only way we win is with number 18, the sheriff, carrying us to the title, and he did it one time against Rex Grossman. That's the problem. It's a different philosophy in the way the team is attacking things. Bill Polian acknowledged that maybe we went about it a little wrong. We made it all about 18. I mean, that Polian and Irsay, two of certainly Peyton's greatest fans, recognized that maybe we should have tried to spread the wealth a little bit across the field instead of making it all about this guy and what this guy needs to thrive, which is high-end receivers, good guy running the ball behind us. He's always
I feel like a lot of like those high-end receivers became high-end receivers because of Peyton Manning.
You are wrong about that, I'm afraid.
Some of those guys,
Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, both were first round picks.
Guys like Pierre Garçon and stuff. Oh, that's
Pierre Garçon, who's fine, who's been very good in DC.
Very
too.
Good, but Pierre Garçon is not in the same category.
No, I agree. I'm not saying he is, like, but it's like
a huge difference.
Yeah, he's had two legit number ones in Reggie and Marvin.
But what about Demaryius Thomas? What about Eric Decker? What are you talking about? That's craziness. He's had Edge James, Marshall Faulk. He goes to Denver.
He's had some nice surrounding weapons.
How do you feel about
those other guys.
How do you feel about Matt Ryan?
I think
Matt Ryan is right on the outside of those top five. Matt Ryan is a really good player. And we can talk about he was surrounded by weapons or whatever, but Matt Ryan played really well last year and didn't have anything around him. And
I agree with that.
Their team was awful, but he plays the game. In fact, I would take Matt Ryan over Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I would always take that Ryan over Flacco.
I would agree with that, too. All right, so to try and focus it back to draft-specific or sort of reacting.
Man.
I love talking about it, too, obviously.
Hold on. You were going to talk about Bryce Petty.
Well, what I was going to say is all this amounts to – the thing about Bryce Petty is as – I don't know what it should – I'm not the QB whisperer, the QB identifier. Like, I'm like the gold digger. Wait, that's not right. I don't want to be called a gold digger. I find it. I tell you where to look for it, and that's where it is. Bryce Petty looks to me like an NFL QB. He's got an NFL arm. I like his size. So what? So he didn't play in the right system. He'll learn to play in the right system. 2 years from now, he's going to be a good one.
It depends. I think a lot of the success of the quarterback stems from who the play caller is, who the play designer is, and how they go about calling the game. For Bryce Petty landed in the absolute right spot for him. And people will take me to task, and I'm fine. Chan Gailey understands the college game. He spent time at Georgia Tech. He's very familiar with the cutting-edge concepts that are being played in the collegiate game. He's implemented some of those things in NFL playbooks and game plans. Did it in Kansas City with Tyler Thigpen, ran the pistol, had success with that in Buffalo. Ryan Fitzpatrick was a nobody until he goes to Buffalo and plays under Chan Gailey. Plays well for about 20 games, gets a big contract, then he goes back to poop. But, however, Chan Gailey built an offense that allowed him to thrive.
Did you just say he went to poop?
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I like that. No, I've never heard you say it.
Well, I mean, you said, what's the poop? I felt like I could say that.
I hear you. But what's most significant about that for Jets fans should be that it's the difference in quarterback style, too. It's not that he only can work with a certain kind of guy.
He's adaptable, and that's the biggest challenge for NFL offensive coordinators, because most NFL offensive coordinators do what? They aspire to be head coaches. How do you become a head coach? You ring up a lot of numbers, and you impress ownership with these fantasy football numbers. They're like, oh, this guy's a genius, so we're going to make him the head coach. So for an offensive coordinator to be adaptable says he's willing to take his ego out the game. He'll do whatever it takes to put his team in a position to win, and he will help his quarterback flourish. Bryce Petty, Geno Smith, Chan Gailey being there would allow them to play at the best of their ability, because he will take what they did successfully in college and put some of those things into play.
All right, so now instead of just talking about the individual teams, how they improved, let's go all in here, Buck. Let's see if we're going to recklessly speculate, let's do it. AFC East. Are the Patriots going to win it? Are they going to emerge as a wild card from the East? Or will they miss the playoffs altogether because the Jets, the Dolphins, and or the Bills are all on the rise?
The Jets have Geno Smith, the quarterback.
Bucky likes him. And did you just listen to the last 5 minutes of what he said about Chan Gailey?
I will say this is the year the Patriots come back to the pack. Those defensive losses are significant. Darrelle Revis and Brandon Browner were huge upgrades over what they had. They have not replaced those guys with players that are on that caliber. Losing Vince Wilfork on the interior hurts. I do not believe this team can continue to win solely dependent upon Tom Brady. And I just haven't seen them build or bring in upgrades to the receiver core, to anything, to allow them to sustain it. I believe this is the year that we bid adieu to the New England Patriots.
And so what you're saying is the Buffalo Bills will be the 2015 East champions.
I'm not saying that.
Well, who's going to win it then? You said the Bills are going to be in the playoffs.
They are going to be in the playoffs. They can't be in the playoffs as a wild card team?
They can be. So who's going to win the division? I said who's going to win? Who out of that division? You said the Bills.
I think the two teams out of that division that will go would be the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills.
Whoa! So the Dolphins might win the division.
I think the Dolphins can win the division.
Oh, my. This is bold. Now, see? That's what I come for.
So I got Miami and Buffalo in.
That's bold, Bucky.
All right, so
are you ready for bold? You want Damashek to match your bold prediction? Yeah. You know who's going to win the AFC South? The Houston Texans.
But that's not bold. They...
That's bold. What are you talking about?
Bold. They won 9 games last year.
You should see. You know the Around the NFL boys?
They won
Han Zeus and Wessling and the
they
rest?
They won 9 games with 4 quarterbacks.
They laugh at me. They laugh at me when I say that.
They 4 quarterbacks and won 9 games.
Sheck, we all laugh at you, man. That's...
Okay, so AFC South.
No, with me because I'm delightful. But that's neither here nor there.
AFC South, we're going to say Houston's going.
I think the Texans are going to win that division. And, you know, clarify. Here's what they keep saying. Dan Hanzus and Chris Wessling say to me when I say, I think that team is loaded for bear. And they say, yeah, but who's playing quarterback? Here's my answer.
Ryan Mallett would be fine.
I agree. But let's say that I'm wrong about Ryan Mallett and it's Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, who learned from Bill O'Brien up in New England. Brian Hoyer, who had 0 weapons in the passing game a year ago and still 3/4 of the way through the season in Cleveland, had that team in playoff contention. Do you think if he moves down to Houston and is throwing it to Hopkins?
I wouldn't put that on Hoyer. I would put that more on their defense.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying that it's...
He won't mess it up. I would say this.
That's the point. Like you said about the Bills with Matt Cassel. That's my point. I'm just saying that he won't be the reason they miss because he makes some atrocious turnovers.
Right,
I say it's Ryan Mallett, though. Then Wessling and these guys, what makes you so hip on this Ryan Mallett? Did you watch him play in the SEC? He was terrific. He had some off-the-field stuff. He was naughty, and I don't mean he was doing – I mean, and there are degrees of what makes somebody a bad guy and get the red flags and stuff. His stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not being glib about it, but, you know, he liked to have his fun like a frat dude did, you know, with – you know, he was naughty. I don't think he was,
he was a choir boy.
I don't think he was a felon. Let me try to put it that way.
Okay. Well, even in saying that, I believe Indianapolis takes a step back.
But Ryan Mallett can sling it like three or four guys only on the face of the earth.
Shaq, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. I'm just telling you because this is for everybody who doubts me.
And I'm telling you, the Colts won't get in.
Not even get to the playoffs.
No, they won't get
Bucky, this is an outrage. No Patriots and no Colts.
To that point, though.
Their defense isn't good enough.
Speaking of around the NFL, those guys, their point is saying, hey, the Colts aren't building the right way. They're stocking up on offense and ignoring the defense. So, essentially, you're agreeing with that, Bucky.
Not, yeah, they're not loaded. They're not going. Look, the league is shifting. We're going to see a shift. The running back is coming back in vogue. Physical teams. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the draft. People are loading up to have stellar defenses to be able to play a rough-and-tumble style. Influence is a copycat league. Seattle has been a prominent team. Wow, what is Seattle doing? They're beating you up defensively, running the football. Even though they didn't win it, the ball was on the one-yard line, we could say that they would have been back-to-back. People take notice that. Man.
Is Ryan Grigson, is he sort of not – I kind of feel like he hasn't done the greatest job. Is that fair? I don't want to attack the guy because he seems like a delightful fellow.
It's a hard job. I think sometimes when you're drafting and you're doing it, you have a a mercurial talent in Andrew Luck, and you're trying to make sure you do right by him because everything on the outside says, oh, you got to build around the quarterback. It takes a guy with strong conviction to say, okay, I have him. I'm not going to support him by getting him all these weapons. And so they're looking, and remember, they're very successful being an offensive-centric team for decades under Peyton Manning. So it's hard sometimes to shift that because that's what Indianapolis, Indiana, they're used to seeing their team play a certain
way. The fans, yeah, might have a tough pivot to watch a team that's
– they have a tough time seeing them shift to like a rough and rugged team. But I don't think their defense will be able to withstand what others are building in the AFC.
Listen, I'm pretentious about plenty of things, but I am not pretentious about my ability to divine who, as a college prospect, is going to walk in the door and be good from day one. But guys like you tell me Kevin Johnson from Wake is going to be a guy who walks in and plays corner, a starting corner spot there with Jonathan Joseph and the best defensive player in the NFL and Whitney Mercilus. And if Jadeveon Clowney comes in and does something, that talk about a devastating defense, plus the weapons they now have on offense, plus Arian Foster, if he's right, boy, if I'm even anywhere close on Ryan Mallett, that team is going to be gangbusters.
Sheck, you just said that you're not going to give the Colts GM Ryan Grigson a hard time because you met him before?
I feel bad when I say I don't know if he's done a great job because I think he's a nice guy.
Such a name dropper, first of all, and that's against the no jive rule. Oh, because I met him before. I'm not gonna.
I never shy from saying. I say, but I will also acknowledge. I think he's a nice fella. That's all.
Nothing to do with his job, though.
How about this, Bucky? We were talking to Dick Butkus. Oh, talking about offenses that can't miss, like in 2014. So Dick Butkus, I'm about to talk to the legend in Chicago, throngs of people cheering everywhere he goes. I say to Butkus, who was exactly how you would want Dick Butkus to behave himself. He was surly, kind of. He was super sarcastic to me, and he was cracking wise the whole time. He was great. So I said, yeah, you keep your eye on the Bears. Do you care anymore at this point? Because he lives out in Malibu at this point from all of his beer money and his sitcom money. I say, do you say, oh yeah, I watch him. I love watching him. He said, but last year was disgusting. I think he had a couple four-letter words mixed in there. That was disgusting what happened last year. I just hated watching the whole thing. But as Dick Butkus is walking up to me, we see him from a distance. I say, you know who he is though, right? Right, Black Tie? Black Tie doesn't know his NFL history. You know, he grew up in another land. I let him off the hook for that. He said, of course I know Dick Butkus. And he says, Black Tie says, make sure you ask him about the steel curtain.
That's not what I
said. And I said, why would I ask him about –
embellishing the story.
I said, why would I ask him about the steel curtain?
You added a couple of scenes, a couple of lines of dialogue.
I said, why would I ask him about the steel curtain? Because he was on the steel curtain. He said, because he was on the steel curtain.
Oh, man.
And so then I laughed. And then when Butkus – and when we started shooting with him on camera, this is recorded for posterity if you don't believe me. I tell Dick Butkus, hey, Black Tie, my producer here, thinks you played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we pulled Black Tie on camera. He didn't think that was very funny. Black Tie didn't.
No.
Butkus thought it was
funny. I didn't
fun,
think it was
though.
Funny at all. I was so not ready. See, already I know you though, because I.
But thought, why did you I, think when I? Why would I? If the premise is well, he was on the Steelers. Why would I not ask him about that? Of course, I would
like,
ask him
like,
about that.
I was like, why
that.
Are you asking me about Butkus? You know, but it was just a moment of madness, so to speak. And but you've totally embellished the story, though.
That, I've not embellished a
added
thing.
Added a few more characters.
What did
more
I change?
Camera angles, 3D. Jeez.
I don't know what I changed in the story.
Point is, you can talk about Ryan Grigson even though you've met him before, name dropper.
That's right. So what? Yeah. So now I just name dropped Butkus. How about that? And I met Mel Blunt and kibitzed with him.
Oh, I'm sure
also
you
a great
Mel
time.
Blunt.
Oh, I talked to Mel about Ike Taylor and told him about how Ike Taylor sang songs about.
Well, you mean you randomly went up to him and disturbed the man.
That's right. So what? He had a big cowboy hat on. Boy, Mel
Matt
Blunt
Luke
looks like. Mel Blunt looks like he could walk out onto the field and play tomorrow.
Yeah.
He is he's 6'4". He looks like he's cut like Cam Newton or something. He's giant. I can't believe that guy played cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, that's when it's funny.
They changed the rules. He was too good. They had to change the rules.
My original receiver coach in Buffalo was Charlie Joyner. Charlie Joyner talked about playing in today's game. Charlie was like, man, I catch 50 balls today in this league because I had to deal with the likes of the Mel Blunts who could absolutely maul you and slam you and throw
Michael
you off.
Haynes, yeah.
Yeah, he just talked about it's a different league. And so Mel Blunt was such a dominant force that he forced the league to change the rules to help wide receivers get free.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, we'll wrap it up quickly. Maybe we should do then we'll see what we got to do. We got to figure out what we're going to do.
We've spoken to some quarterbacks. Before we wrap it up, I just want to get Bucky's take here on his thoughts on Mariota in Tennessee.
All right, that's fine. But I want to get that too. But, yes, okay, because we're on the South. But we're talking big stuff here. We're etching this out. I don't want to let this go. So not the Patriots, not the Colts in the 2015 postseason. Are you willing to do the unholy triumvirate and say the Broncos also are going to be watching from home? Because I said earlier, and I believe it, Kansas City Chiefs are going to win that division. I said earlier the Chargers, but now I really like that Chiefs team, Bucky. I think Andy Reid, sleep on how good Andy Reid is.
I think Andy Reid is a great coach. He was part of the staff in Green Bay when I was there. Outstanding mind is a great
name dropper.
Developing plays.
Well, that was part of
why don't you call him on being the name dropper?
That was part of the story, though. That made sense.
I felt like I needed to drop a name because you dropped a few. So I want to make sure that you know. I know people.
You've been around.
I know. I know a couple people. He does do a great job. You know, the Denver
I name
Broncos,
drop you, by the way, sometimes when you're not around, Bucky.
That's okay.
All right, cool.
You probably name drop me with the cheerleaders, too. That's probably why they're so excited to see you, right?
Not necessary. Not necessary.
No?
No, no, no. I just made eye contact with them. That's all I ever need to do with the ladies, Buck. Continue.
Please do.
So the Denver Broncos. Here's my thing with the Denver Broncos. Defensively, they have to play better. I like what Wade Phillips typically and traditionally does. I think Peyton Manning's a huge question mark.
Yep.
Because you don't get better. Like, at his age, he's 39 years old. Like, I understand that Brett Favre had that wonderful season that year in Minnesota. God, can Peyton do another season like that? Like, I don't see it, and I just don't know if this team will be balanced enough on offense and defense to be able to carry it. But I'm not willing to dismiss them. I kind of have them on the fringes. Kansas City, I would like to just see them play because – Alex Smith is going to take care of the football. They've upgraded their wide receiver core.
By a ton. It's not like, well, you know what, they've added a piece or two in the passing game. They had zero in 2014, and now they have legitimate pass catchers.
They have
one of the four or five best offensive non-QB players in the NFL, too. Or skill position guys, let's put it
that way.
Come
on, Jamal Charles?
Yes.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
I like them defensively. We'll see. Kansas City and San Diego are going to be certainly factors in the mix.
You going to say it, though?
I don't know.
You've said enough already. You've already said the Patriots and the Colts ain't making the postseason, so I'll let you off there. But I will say the Broncos aren't making it. Look at their schedule coming up here.
I haven't seen the schedule. So that's
Demaryius Thomas is dynamite all world. But, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is good, but Julius Thomas is gone. And is the offensive line going to be great enough to allow them to run? Think about Kubiak. Yeah, that's your big thing with Kubes, you know. Kub wants to run the ball all the time. Is Peyton going to allow that to happen?
I think he understands. He watched the film. He doesn't have the arm strength that he needed. In Kubiak's system, being able to run the ball, it really make it easier, clear to reads. He can have shorter throws but higher gains. I'm still willing to bet –
I think you guys are underestimating Peyton here, man. Because to your point, I do think they're going to be a run-first team.
Underestimating them.
Yeah, I do think they're going to be a run-first team. And I think Peyton Manning
How are we underestimating him?
Because you guys are kind of like, I don't know.
He's an old man who couldn't throw the ball last year.
His greatest
strength, though.
Oh, don't.
The mental.
Yeah, but like at some point.
And thank you, Bucky, for invoking the appropriate comparison. Kobe Bryant is one of the six or eight best players of all time. Doesn't mean Kobe Bryant is in the top 30 players in the NBA currently.
Right.
But come on. This is like if we're having this conversation week 10 of last season, Peyton was putting up ungodly numbers. By week 10 of last season, he was still on it.
The jury's out on him, though. Everyone knows that he can't.
So,
I want you to understand this. It's a copycat league. So, everyone has seen how he struggled the last six games of last year.
Which he was very likely hurt. I mean.
Like Pacquiao was hurt.
That's not the same.
He was hurt just like Pacquiao was hurt.
So by the idea that he really was fundamentally hurt and that needed to be corrected. There's a reason why guys retire around this age because their bodies are breaking down. Kobe Bryant rips his Achilles. Then he comes back. Then he ruins his knee.
This is
the way things go. You think Peyton Manning's not going to – well, that's it. Well, good thing he put that injury stuff behind him.
I'm saying there's got to give him benefit of a doubt that there's a chance.
No, I don't.
Maybe this is his last season, but this might be his last season.
He's like,
first time playing with a run-first offense and doing it very efficiently.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone understands. The way that you deal with Peyton Manning is now, he no longer has the ability to throw the ball outside the numbers. Jam the middle and dare him to make throws outside. That's how the Indianapolis Colts played him in the playoffs, and he struggled. So what everyone does in the offseason, all defensive coordinators, they pick games they look at. So everyone's like, hey, you know, the Broncos, the Colts did a good job. Let's see that. So until he's able to show people that he can deal with or he has a counter to an effective diet of that, he's going to continue to see it. It's the same thing that people do with Colin Kaepernick and those other things. Once they figure out that you have problems with something, they're going to give you that until you show them that you now know how to answer the riddle. And so that's why with quarterbacks always have to add tools to their game because defensive coordinators are always throwing new curveballs, new pitches at them, and they have to be able to adjust. That's why it's a huge difference between a starting quarterback and a backup. A starting quarterback has the ability to take his game to another level to find ways to answer those riddles. A backup, for instance, like Brian Hoyer, well, after we get enough tape on Brian Hoyer, we know exactly what he is. And then if he can't counter that, we're like, this is what he is. He can give us a 3-4-5 game burst, but that's it. So for Peyton Manning.
All right, so
that's why Buck is on the show. What type of quarterback would Damashek be?
A terrific one. What do you mean? I'm a winner.
Yeah.
I got grit.
Backup or starter.
I got grit.
Oof.
This thing attached to my left shoulder is a hose. I mean, that all you need to know is where I'm from. The banks of the Three Rivers. Where Marino, Jim Kelly. Oh, I talked to Jim Kelly the other day, and wow, that was a terrific treat to talk to him. He's still, you know, he's got a great sense of humor, you know, about all the stuff he's been through. I said, hey, like the rest of the world, been enjoying watching you bounce back here, and he's like, I'm glad you enjoyed it because it was terrible for me. And I said, I'm really talking about the last few months, but he was joking around, and he still got a lot of Pittsburgh in him, but Montana, Unitas, Namath, did I mention him, Marino, and all the rest. Damashek's also from Pittsburgh, so you know I can sling it. That's the one thing you know.
I don't know. I think you'd be a good game manager.
I
think it's very important that we surround you with the right weapons, big body receivers, tall, because I don't think you'll be able to hit the strike zone all the time. I want some guy.
No, I'm erratic, but the main problem for me is, as a quarterback,
I think Damashek audibles every time.
Nobody can ever teach. No coach could ever teach me to throw the ball with touch. All fireballs. That's the problem for me. All fastballs. That's the thing that they like. Dave, come on, you got to throw it with some touch. I can't do it. All I know is 100 miles.
All
an hour.
Fastballs.
That's the whole thing for me. All right, we got a lot of things we got to figure out here, Bucky, between now and the start of the season.
Fortunately, can we get some Mariota first, though?
Yes, I want to figure out. Mariota. I want to talk about that, but that's not a playoff contender. I do want to have the Mariota conversation. Let's save that, though, Black Tie, because I think we've had a lot of good AFC talk here today. So round it out for me. So we say you're going to say the Broncos hold on and win that division. You say Dolphins and Bills. You say you're saying Texans are going to win that division.
Yeah, so Dolphins, Bills, Texans are division winners. Dolphins are the division winners.
I don't agree with that because of the Philbin factor. They've been in the mix at the end of November and then tailspun two straight years, Philbin had.
Defense would be better. The defense will carry the team.
Okay.
And Dominican Sue's addition is huge.
I like where your head's at. I don't know if it's Rexy. I love the story there. Then again, I love if the Jets turned it around.
So
I'm going to go with Rex with you.
Three, four. So Cincinnati goes again as a division winner.
Not again. Then what do you mean? That's not the Pittsburgh Steelers are your 2014 champion.
Yeah, but they've been to the playoffs 4 years in a row.
All right. So they go to the postseason.
Yeah.
Who wins the division, though? You're saying the Bengals are going to win the division?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like that. Like it's an obvious, like it's a given.
Yeah, they're going to win that.
You don't like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger? But not enough for you?
I'm missing Le'Veon Bell for 3 weeks, right? Or 2 weeks. How many weeks am I missing?
Three right now. I suspect that they'll pull it back to two.
Did you see what they played like when he wasn't there in the playoffs?
That's two games. That's two games, but maybe three. All right, I hear you. I'm just asking you,
and then I still have questions about that defense.
I think Jarvis Jones is coming. I think Ryan Shazier is a lost season in 2014.
We got a new play caller, though. We got a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I black tie. We got to get a Pittsburgh guy on here, one of those guys who can really break down for us what Dick LeBeau versus Keith Butler, the new defensive coordinator, who obviously has spent so much time with LeBeau, but there are differences. What will be the identifiable difference?
You know they're not going to tell us.
Not the Steelers won't, but guys who are close to the team. So
and then, you know, Shaq, you might, man, because I'm looking. I love what San Diego did in the draft. I like Melvin Gordon teaming up with Phillip Rivers. I like Denzel Perryman going on the inside, playing defense alongside Donald Butler.
I talked to him.
Manti Te'o out. Oh, yeah, I know. We sat here.
No, I just had the name drop that I meant.
We sat here.
Bucky Brooks and I talked to Denzel Perryman a couple weeks ago, Black Tie. Just so you know, he seemed like a nice guy, although he didn't seem too amused by me.
No, he didn't. He didn't play along. He didn't play along.
I'm sorry. I don't like those green hats that they wear. I'm sorry. I don't like those or were they orange helmets with the all-green uniforms in Miami. I didn't like when they did that.
Man, so San Diego, man.
He did like it. And then he didn't like me as a result.
San Diego and Denver. You have Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'll take Denver and San Diego.
Okay. So San Diego wins that division. I will now issue my projections for the AFC. Your number one seed. I go all the way, Buck. I go with the seeds and everything. I had the Colts as my number one seed. Now I'm not even going to put them as the division champs now. All right, you know what? It's too much to bite off right here and now. I'm going to say.
Come on, Shaq.
All right, it's tough. I told you the Chiefs are going to win that division. I told you. The Texans will win theirs. The Colts are still going to get into the playoffs, though. I believe that much. I can't say the Patriots are missing the playoffs. I can't bring myself to say that. But I will say the Bills will win that division. I'm with you on that. And then all that's left now is the AFC North. I'm not ready to issue an opinion on that. I can't because if I say Steelers and I'm being a homer and I pride myself on being spot on three straight years, and Black Tie can attest to that, right? Didn't I say 8-8 and 8-8 and 8 and then first place in the AFC North last year? It's exactly what I predicted. That's exactly. I don't. Homer, what I want to see is different than what I think will happen. But I'm not ready. I don't know what I think just yet. I'm not ready to commit to the Steelers. Although, Buck, one thing I do want to hear from you on is Bud Dupree. Real quick.
Bud Dupree, super athlete. Some would say he's a workout warrior. However, high motor guy. I got to play like four different positions at Kentucky. He finally settled in as one of those outside linebacker guys that can rush the passer. I think he's going to put the pressure on Jarvis Jones. Jarvis Jones has to deliver this year. If not, I think Bud Dupree is going to be their guy. But they have to get someone that can get to the passer consistently. That is what is missing in Pittsburgh. The fact that they had to bring James Harrison back,
the only thing I would say is Devil's Damashek, to your point, is that was owed to injury. You know, Jarvis Jones got hurt. He was playing fine until he got banged up there. They had Worlds on the other side. Lawrence Timmons continues to be the most underrated guys in the NFL.
Great player.
Talk about speed. Then they have Ryan Shazier now. We'll see. I mean, it was a loss 2014.
Yeah,
that's speed. You know what Pittsburgh lacked? I remember a couple years ago, was it Warren Sapp who said, oh, they're old and washed up, it's over for them? Age, yes, but the real thing was a lack of speed out there. They just didn't have in today's NFL, guys are moving at a higher rate than ever before.
Yeah, and
Pittsburgh now has speed on defense.
They do, but they're still missing some playmakers. There are a lot of questions. Troy's not there. Ike's not there. I'm not saying those guys are still playing at a high level, but there's something to having vets in the back end, and they got to replace those guys. We still hang a lot of question marks. Cortez, William Gay, I mean, Mike Mitchell didn't play up to expectations based on how much they paid him.
In fact, he stunk.
A big year. I don't know, man. It's tough on the Steelers.
All right. We'll see. All right, I'll issue my final opinion on the AFC North. We have like 4 months to figure it out before we have to commit to anything. All right, Buck, you got to come back now because we got to do the NFC at some point in the next week or so, unless you're going on vacation. And the other thing we have to do that I really like where Black Tie's head's at, the NBA playoffs are underway. We got
don't
into
give
such
it
a-
away. Don't give it away, guys.
I think this is what you do. You tease what you're going to do.
And someone else might do it first. And
it's our idea. It's your idea, yeah, so why would anybody steal it? I'm going to talk about it right now. And we didn't even get to talk NBA ball here today, Buck, or the big fight. No. Black tie's in such a hurry to get out of here. We did
get out.
Talk about that ridiculous fight, which I'm so glad
that's
I didn't watch.
Not talking about it.
Instead, you know what I did watch? Game 7 of the Spurs and Clips. And I you know what? I hail Black tie. He said Clips in 7. He called that one. So that's a tip
did
of the
it,
hat
did he
there.
Call that?
He did. He did call that one.
It was a home court series.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
He also thinks Chris Paul's on the Steelers, though, so it really doesn't matter. oh, boy, he was
still
mad
playing.
At me. He was so mad at me for doing that.
I knew you were going to tweet it out. I figured you would tweet that out. I didn't think you'd call me on camera in front of Dick and be like, hey, this
Dick
guy
liked
thinks
it. Dick liked it just fine.
Sheesh.
So Black Tie wants to figure out. I remember last year we did the triplets, the best NFL triplets. I want to do, or Black Tie, I should say, wants to do starring five. Not starting five, but starring five. Top heavy as it is, and, you know, curmudgeonly football guys will tell you, oh, it's about the whole roster. Yeah, I know, but fans like to talk about who has the most stars. So let's figure out the star power. Who has the five best stars per team in the NFL? The other thing, everybody, we just finished up all these mock drafts, you know, where this guy goes or that guy.
You know who won that, right?
I want to do a draft. Who? You?
Yeah.
Did you win?
I had 8 straight. I had 8 guys.
Did you really?
Yeah. Whoa.
I had no idea, yeah, Buck. Why don't you pat yourself on the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how everyone scores that, because some people will score, like, how many guys you get in the first round, how many guys are with the teams that you're correct. But in terms of matching up, I got 8.
I got a feeling like Leonard Williams going 6. That kind of, like, messed up everyone's board, right?
No, I think the pick before that. Scherf to the
that's
DC the is what screwed up the whole. I said that in the moment. I said that there goes everybody's draft.
That was the
no
tipping point. Yeah.
The other thing I want to do is, though, because we talk about coaches, obviously, a fair amount, not just head coaches. Let's do maybe we'll just do 2 rounds. I don't even know if we can run that deep. But let's do a coaches draft. Let's draft the coaches in order. Let's just see who
head coaches are. And coordinators.
Yeah, coordinators, too. Let's try to rank those out. Maybe top 40, top 50.
That's 96 guys.
Yeah, something like that. We'll figure that out. So we have that coming up. We'll talk about the NFC, how the draft looks, or really how the teams look going into the season now. Now that the 2015 rosters are more or less, we've identified who's going to be on them. Now we can figure out, we have to talk about Mariota. We've got to talk about Jameis, and I think he's going to be good from day one.
I'll tell you what, though.
I'm guaranteeing it. Jameis is going to be dynamite.
Marcus,
in September 2015.
Marcus has potential. He's not the typical body language guy.
No.
But I think he's going to be good.
Get ready for a
he's
bust on that.
My boy.
Get ready for a bust on that one.
Tell
you know
me.
What? Every time, unless I'm mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, Buck. Every time there is the debate. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. When there is that thing of, which QB do you want? There are two guys that are clear. One of these guys is going to be the first pick, and they're both QBs. It's always one is great and the other one is bad. It's not like the one's he's great, well, the other one ended up being dynamite too.
Yeah, the only time I was
is that right? Am I right about that?
I mean, Luck Country 3.
Tim Couch and Donovan McNabb. Tim Couch wasn't horrible. He got hurt.
Yeah, but Tim Couch is a bust.
He got hurt.
All right, but however you want to measure it, he didn't have a good NFL career.
To the playoffs.
I understand, but he's considered to be a failure in the NFL. And I don't know him, and I've never met him, so I don't mind saying that to you. And
I guess you put Audrey through in that same category, right? Fell off, injury.
I guess Rodgers and Alex Smith have both kind of worked out.
Sullivan points out here behind the glass with me, Rivers and Eli. That's another one that panned out.
Rivers, Eli.
And I think you left out another name from that trio.
Oh, good boy.
The best of the three, Roethlisberger. You laugh like that's a ridiculous assertion to make. Yeah, the third place guy is the one who was the who is the best, without the doubt about the ridiculous.
Without a doubt.
Drew Bledsoe, what, Roethlisberger? You don't think Roethlisberger is clearly the winner of – if you redrafted that, do you think anybody would argue with that?
Number 2 QB.
Hold on, wait a minute. So if we're doing –
Oh, come on. Too far. I've appreciated your reckless talk today, but now you're going too far.
So you're saying it's a slam dunk if we do
it
a draft.
It is an
do-over.
Absolute
a draft
slam
do-over.
Dunk that Ben Roethlisberger has had a better NFL career than Philip Rivers has.
Let's flip this. So if we took Big Ben.
Yes.
And we put him in San Diego. And we put Philip Rivers in Pittsburgh, where they really wanted him
I know.
Originally.
And, you know, the Giants really wanted Big Ben.
Right. So does Philip take does Ben take San Diego to the Super Bowl as opposed to where Philip hasn't? To this point,
are we I'm not. It? I'm not somebody who plays what if, Bucky. That's not my thing.
Oh!
No more NFLs. Is that what you're saying?
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, Simmons saying it's such a slam dunk.
It is an abs. I mean, you're well, yes, you're countering with speculation. I'm countering. I'm giving you fact. 3 Super Bowl appearances, 2 victories. There's no question who the better quarterback has been. Come on, Bucky. There's only. I'll tell you this too, real quick, Buck. Who gets a gold jacket out of those 3 guys? 1, 2, or 3 of them?
2.
Eli gets the other one? You think Phil winds up never getting a gold jacket?
I don't think he gets a gold jacket, no.
Well, so then how can you say that Phil Rivers is as good as Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, I'm saying some of his circumstance.
All right. Okay. On this, you're wrong, Bucky. But overall, a strong performance. Once again, we'll wrap it up. So much more meat on this bone, even though we are into May now. We got the summer months coming. I want to do some even more fun stuff. Black Tie is making some crazy talk about his basketball ability. We got to dig into that in future episodes. In fact, I think we have to actually take it out of the studio and out onto the blacktop and see really what he has.
What he has.
Matter of fact, I think we have to find out. It's high time to find out what everybody in these 4 walls has.
I'm with that.
In athletic endeavors, I think we should be playing basketball. I think we need to organize a whole decathlon and figure out who is the best athlete here at NFL Media, players included. You know what? Damashek might just steal this thing. Who knows? We'll see when we get out there for it. We'll talk about it more. We'll do another podcast this week, right, Black Tie?
Yeah, Thursday podcast.
Okay. All right, so we'll be back for that later in the week. In the meantime, thanks to Bucky Brooks, and thanks to you. It's been a thin slice of heaven.